ಆಶ್ರಿತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಃ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತಥೋ ಜಯಮುಜೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 5 Chapter 4 ದಿ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಷಭದೇವ್. Our focus will be specifically on text number 15, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Text 15. The verse goes as follows. Yat yat shirsanya acharitam,
yat yat shirsanya acharitam,
yat yat shirsanya acharitam,
yat yat shirsanya acharitam,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ಯತ್ ಯತ್ ಶಿರ್ಸಂಜ್ಞ ಆಚರಿತಂ,
ಯತ್ ಯತ್ ಶಿರ್ಸಂಜ್ಞ ಆಚರಿತಂ,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ತತ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ,
ಯತ್ ಯತ್ ಶಿರ್ಸಂಜ್ಞ ಆಚರಿತಂ, ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಲೋಕಃ. ಯತ್ ಯತ್ ವಾಟೆವರ್ ಶೀರ್ಷನ್ಯ ಬೈ ದ ಲೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಚರಿತಂ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ತತ್ ದಟ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ ಫಾಲೋ ಲೋಕಃ the people in general, translation, whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A similar verse is also found in Bhagavad Gita 3.21. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahminical qualification, administrators, merchants and workers, should take instruction from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes Dehabrit or Dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं मुखां करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दिनतारिणं वाचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण यत् यत् श्री सन्य आचरितम् तत्तत् अनुवर्तते लोकः। वॉट एवर एक्शन इज परफॉर्म्ड बाय अ ग्रेट मैन कॉमन मेन फॉलो। सो वी आर इन दी वंडरफुल टॉपिक ऑफ द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ ऋषभदेव from the 5th canto, chapter 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Priyavrat's lineage of glorious Rajarishi kings is being described. In that lineage, from Maharaj Priyavrat, who himself was an ideal king, came Maharaj Agnidhara, who married Purvachitti. They had a great son, King Nabhi, who was also very exemplary. And King Nabhi had prayed for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to manifest as their son. And therefore, Rishabhadev manifested in that lineage. Lord Rishabhadev ki jai. And then we have been told also earlier and in the ensuing sections that this lineage continued with the glorious Maharaj Bharat, under whose name has been given to the modern day India, Bharatavarsh. Of course, I have also heard that Bharatavarsh is not restricted to India. Bharatavarsh was much more, and then there was so many continental drift and so many things happened. But hypothetically, let us take it as India for contemporary discussion. So, in this particular section, in today's class, Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the saintly nature of Maharaj Rishabhadev. Specifically, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing on the point that a leader should lead by example, personal example. The phone rings when you least expect it to ring. Otherwise, no. Usually this time phone doesn't ring. So, reminder. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada talks about leading by example here. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying that a similar verse is found in Bhagavad Gita 3.21. All of us know, yet, yet, acharati shreshthas. So, in that verse, Lord Krishna says, whatever a great person does, common man follows that example. And Prabhupada then goes on to say, it is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained. Obviously, it is impossible to train everyone, because the world is not going to become Krishna conscious in one day. It may be possible, but it's not very practical. It doesn't look like very practical now. But at least a section of men can be trained as perfectly qualified brahmanas. Brahma janati iti brahmana. So, this section of brahmanas, in fact, when Prabhupada established the missions, the seven objectives of ISKCON, then one of the objectives is that to create first class leadership in ISKCON who are Brahmanas by nature. And the Kshatriyas will, and the Vaishyas and the Shudras, all of them will operate under the guidance of this enlightened Brahminical layer. Whose guidance will the Brahminical layer operate on? The Brahminical layer will operate on the guidance of the Shastras, of the scriptures. And scriptures are perfect because scriptures have come from the Mukha Kamal or the lotus mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Therefore, whatever Lord Krishna says, that is perfect. So the Brahmanas are well versed with the teachings of Lord Krishna and the life and examples that Lord Krishna gave through his activities and pastimes. So when we speak from the Shastras and when we conduct our lives in deference to the Shastras, when we do all our activities under the mood that is prescribed by the Shastras, under the advice that is given by saintly personalities, then gradually we become perfect, though we move towards perfection, though we are otherwise imperfect. So, it is very important, Prabhupada is mentioning here, that A, the Brahmanas lead by example, the Kshatriyas also lead by example, the Vaishyas and Shudras, everyone leads by example so that everyone else can follow that good example. And earlier, Prabhupada had also quoted, when Madanand Prabhu, I remember, was lecturing 2-3 days back, and in that purport, Prabhupada had said, what is that verse? In India, we are born. Manushya Janma Yara. Janma Sartha. Bharata Bhumite Haila. Manushya Janma Yara. Janma Sartha Kapari. Kara Paravata. So, whoever is has this opportunity, who is fortunate to take birth in this holy land of Bharata Bhumi, first they have to put the oxygen mask in their own face and then they have to put it in other faces, like they say in the aircraft. Pehle apne mukh pe lagaye, phir bacche ke mukh pe lagaye. Put the oxygen mask in your own face first and then put it in the mask in the face of the children. So it is also in one of the classes I was hearing that Chanakya Niti, one of the things is that he said that the first duty is to save ourselves. Sometimes we go out to save the world when we don't have enough protection. It's like going and becoming a COVID doctor or a COVID inspector without oneself wearing a mask. So in that process, 50 people have to then serve us and take care of us because we went to serve, but then we will keep ourselves in a position where we have to be served. So therefore, janma sarthaka kari, then kara paravartaka. So first we have to progress towards sincerely in the path of perfecting ourselves. And then as a service, then we also have to endeavor to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement by giving this invaluable knowledge to others. So here, in this particular verse, we see that Lord Rishabhadev, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to follow anyone. He is from him only Brahmanas come. But because he has taken the role of a Kshatriya, therefore Lord Rishabhadev is acting in the guidance of the Brahmanas. In fact, the previous verse is beautiful, yesterday's verse, which Arjun Sakha Prabhu spoke about. So it is said that being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadev was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the four principles of misery, birth, disease, old age, death, nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy and he was the well-wisher of all living entities. Any leader do we know today, any political leader like this? Well-wisher of all living entities. Very difficult to see such personalities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and Controller of all, he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary condition soul. And today's purport of Prabhupada is pretty much connected to that line. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashrama Dharma himself and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashrama Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties within the Varnashrama Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure and finally eternal life. By his instructions, he showed people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. So this is leading by example. And Prabhupada is saying here that as a Kshatriya, as Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could have said, hang on, I agree that I have come as Kshatriya, but why are you people forgetting that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So whenever I don't consult you, you please remember that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, he didn't do that. He consulted the Brahmanas. So he came, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is coming in the role of a Kshatriya, but taking all decisions in consultation with Brahmanical authorities. So this is how he is leading by example. So yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has come here to set an example for us that all you people, whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, then please conduct yourself in accordance with the, in consultation with the Brahmanas. So, in this way, when one does, when one leads by personal example, then one does not need to demand respect. Then one automatically commands respect from others. And respect will come of its own accord if we conduct ourselves like that. So, Kesha Prabhu often has mentioned that in our Bhakti Vaibhav over the many years that we have studied with him, he always mentions this, that we have to develop adhikar. We have to develop adhikar. We will develop adhikar only when people see us leading by example in a particular space. Then in that space at least we develop some adhikar to speak something. For example, if a devotee is very punctual, for example, follows the principle of punctuality, then that devotee can speak about punctuality. We cannot have a cigarette in our hand and tell our next generation, don't touch cigarettes. We cannot tell them like that because they will say that you are doing it, so why should I not do it? Like that. But it happens. Many parents today, sometimes in my office, one person was speaking to me. One or two years back, he was a big man, he was almost like a general manager position, but he was very close with me. He was an Indian person, but then he used to speak to me very often about spiritual life, and he knows that I am a Hare Krishna devotee, he was my client also. But then once he was telling me that, Jagan, these children, they are not at all, spiritual or pious or anything like that. What to do? We keep telling them, you are from India, don't lose your culture, you should become, go down in front of the deity, you should become little religious and spiritual. So I asked him, what are you doing, to spiritual life? Because we had to give him so many times, come to the temple, gave him books. You know that I don't have any time here, what to do? I said, if you don't have time, children will also tell you that they don't have time to do it. What do you expect? If you live a life where you are watching, television, engaged in watching the 2020 cricket which is now going on in India. Everybody, all parents, children, whole family is sitting behind it. And the only basic discussion is that Mumbai, Mumbai Demons and Calcutta horses or something. So who will win? This is the discussion every time. And I see this WhatsApp, even in my, there is some familial WhatsApp that I have. In that WhatsApp, everyone is talking about, today this fellow wasted this many overs. That's not good at all. How dare he waste this many overs? Okay. But my dear, you are wasting your valuable overs of life. Our life. What is that? Ayur Harati Vai Pumsa? Udhyan Ashtan Jayanasa. That's Yate Yat Shanonita Uttama Shloka Varde. Every rising and setting of the sun, we are wasting our lifetime. So obviously I wanted to tell, but if I tell like this, then nobody, then I will be, ostracized from the from that group. I don't mind, frankly, But obviously, you know, because I also have affection for these people, I have to tread very cautiously on how do I give this message. You know, please come out of this. Like that. So this is how the world is moving. Because the parents also do not know the goal of life. The parents have not studied the scriptures. But because everyone says that I am Brahma, because I was born in a Tamilian, you know, Iyer Brahmin family. Okay. So everyone is thinking we are Brahmanas, and they are telling how do we give Brahminism to our children. But then if you are leading this kind of a life, and then when I ask them also, you know, sometimes in conversation, they say that they, you know, some people say that, you know, in Saravana Bhavan there is, you know, this wonderful thing, onion, dosa, this, that, etc. So it's very difficult, you know. Tea, coffee, they are not able to give these things up. There is no concept of prasadam in their life. In fact, some of them are also smoking and drinking. So therefore, but they want their children to, you know, take to Brahminism. So they believe that Brahminism only means that, you know, see the Panchangam calendar, and when the child is, you know, come up to a particular level, immediately, you know, let us put poonal. Poonal means that thread ceremony. Let us do this somehow, you know. At least they will have Brahmana. At least Sanskrit will come in their tongue. Let us give the Gayatri Mantra to them. But neither they are chanting Gayatri Mantra, neither the children will chant Gayatri Mantra. So therefore, unless we lead by example, in today's world, even if we lead by example, children may not come. Forget about if we don't lead by example. Then there is no hope at all left. Correct? Because the outside air is so very difficult here, the atmosphere is so bad outside, that even if we lead by example, even if we give Krishna consciousness to our children, the outside influence catches up with them when they get into teenage years. It invariably catches up with them. And they may put on one face in front of parents, and they will be completely different personalities, you know, outside. So we hear so many cases of this that is there. So the atmosphere is very bad. So the least we can do is to at least set a good example within the confines of our home. Janma sarthaka kari kara paravaka. And then we go and give this message to others. So the reason I am taking children's example is, you know, obviously most of the congregation members are grahasthas. Therefore, it has a great responsibility on us that if we have to continue this movement, if we have to have any hope of the fact that our next generation will emerge as the next generation is called leaders, then we have to first lead by our own example. And this is true in any role that we play, whether we play the role of a manager at office or a leader at workplace, whether we play the role of a husband, whether we play the role of a wife, whether we play the role of a son or daughter to our parents. So, or whether we play the role of a friend to our friends, in any situation, people will watch us and take to Krishna consciousness or not take to Krishna consciousness based upon how we conduct ourselves. So therefore, it is imperative, Prabhupada is hammering in this section the point that, you know, we have to take consultation from the Brahmanas. So we have to conduct ourselves in accordance with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Only then we will keep ourselves in a position of commanding respect. Otherwise, respect cannot be demanded. Demanding respect itself is a sign of policy. We get a role and therefore we say, I am in this position, you better, you know, follow the line. This works in corporate life sometimes. Boss will sometimes say that, you know, they will use some motivational techniques. Later on they say, if you don't go, I think, you know, maybe this time we'll have to let you go. And then the employee is very clear what he has to do. Right? They say, I was never very clear, so clear, when you gave an instruction as it is now. Because now you have told me, if I don't do it, I am out. I will not get my salary. So this technique works in corporate life. In spiritual life, unfortunately, you know, we cannot adopt this kind of a leadership style. It may not, because spiritual life is voluntary. In spiritual life, you don't get money, you don't get paid for chanting or something like that. Right? So therefore, here some other leadership style has to be followed. So Lord Himself is coming as Rishabhdev and setting a very nice example here of leadership. So we can learn from him. Now, a key instruction for here, for all of us here, is that we have to keep our self-identity or self-identification aside when we do any activity. Even in office nowadays, we have to do that. And more so ever in Krishna consciousness. So we cannot come from a vantage point or a reference point of our designation. Again, be it an office designation or temple designation. If we come from a point of designation and then try to control, then initially, people may do, or obviously, the people who are absolutely Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Riva Saishnana, ever surrendered, they may listen to us. But usually, it takes time for most devotees to come to the platform of that. They give all respect to others, expect none in return. Be tolerant than that, be more humble than laid after us. People usually observe who is giving them that instruction and then follow. Not necessarily what is the instruction. There has to be a, and this is the initial stage, obviously. So we cannot give instructions to everyone. It is also said that if you have to instruct someone, you have to give lots of love to that person, lot of affection to that person. And then from the point of relationship, then they will automatically accept anything coming from you. This is preaching. We have seen that many times when we preach in the Bhakti Vriksha, in the initial days they may not accept, but when we get involved in their lives, into their problems, when we facilitate their lives in Krishna consciousness rather than just giving a class and then leaving it at that, then what happens? Then we serve them, then they slowly develop affection, and then they will accept Krishna chanting, everything they will accept. Some people accept philosophically, some people accept simply because they are coming into spiritual life from their previous thing, and Prabhupada is sending those people. We are just an instrument. They come and then sometimes they will go ahead of us also. Like that. So we have to, the biggest lesson is that we have to always consider ourselves as mere instruments and not get too attached or besotted with roles, designations, whether it is a designation given by office or whether it is a designation given by temple. It does not matter. The principles are the same. So keep self-identification aside and then take on the role of servant of servant. Take on the role of instrument of the Lord. And then whatever we do, automatically will be inspiring for others. So the Lord is demonstrating here an example from His own activity, that though He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is forgetting the designation of years. He is taking His role as Kshatriya. And the dharma of a Kshatriya is to take consultation from the Brahmin Kshatriya. So Himself He is consulting. So He is demonstrating here so that He can, by His personal example, so He can set an exemplary footprint for the next generations to follow. So yet after whatever such persons, whatever they do, common man will look and say, okay, look, he has done that, so let me follow. Lord Ramachandra, he always leads him by example. Lord Krishna also led by his own example on how to serve the spiritual master. So for the order of the spiritual master to execute that, he did not see rain, thunderstorm. He went out just to fetch those logs for his spiritual master's worship. So he has led by example. We see in Sudama Leela, that's a very good example of how Lord Krishna conducts himself. In Hindi, he says, Dosti Nibhaya. This is the way in which he kept a friendship with Sudama. Though he was the king, when Sudama walked into his palace, Lord Krishna ran outside and received him. He forgot where he was. He just ran out, received him, washed his feet, garlanded him, did full aarti to him. And then gave him tambul, gave him prasadam. Then gave him gifts, small gifts initially, and then when he went home, he saw that everything was good, like that. And then, even then, Lord Krishna was feeling inadequate. He is telling Rukmini that, what have I given? I have given nothing. Because I am the Supreme Personality of God. What I could have given? So, if you see what I could have given and what I have given, I am the husband of the goddess of fortune. What did I give? Nothing. Just one palace. But he didn't have anything. He gave me that puff rice from his pocket. So what he gave me was much more stretch for him to give me than what I gave. That is how Krishna is thinking on top of that. Okay. So this is leading by example. So that is why they said that he is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is only one who can, you know, conduct himself like that, of course. And his saintly personality, his disciplic succession, you know, which comes from, you know, the Lord. Such people lead by example. Prabhupada himself led all of us by example, putting the task ahead. And many times Prabhupada put himself behind the task ahead. Prabhupada was many times not respected by his own disciples. Some disciples tried to hang his picture upside down, desecrate his position, you know, so many things. But Prabhupada was very focused. Prabhupada only continued giving love and affection, tolerating him. And that is why Prabhupada is Jagat Guru. Becoming a Jagat Guru is not just about being able to give scriptural knowledge. Being a Jagat Guru is conducting ourselves with dignity and continuing to give love and affection as an instrument of the Lord, even in the most difficult circumstances. Holding ourselves, holding our behavior, our sadhana. So, in terms of spiritual life, there are three parameters where we have an opportunity to lead by example, and it is up to us how much we take those opportunities seriously. First is the platform of sadhana. If our sadhana is poor, then what can we preach to others? So our preaching itself will not be very effective. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini that bhakti inside the heart of a devotee gets transmitted into the heart of another devotee by preaching. This is the greatest example of this is Haridas Thakur. The prostitute came with absolute malevolent intention. There was no, she didn't say, okay, for a devotee association, you know, I will get some devotee association or another stuff. No, she came actually to seduce him, you know, complete ill intention. But Haridas Thakur's purity and love for Krishna flowed from his heart into her heart. That was not mere mechanical bending. It was his love for Krishna which was coming as an outpouring of his of the holy name. And then that is a heart to heart communication, transmission that happened. It's not a intellect to intellect communication. It's a heart to heart communication. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the love which one devotee has for Lord Krishna goes and sits in another person's heart when one person preaches. And this is the example of Haridas Thakur. So this is called a sadhana. So his sadhana was so pakka, his chanting was so attentive that and his heart became so pure. Of course, we should not even say his heart became pure because he is a partial of the Lord in one sense. But from an example point of view, for all of us, the message is that we have to keep our sadhana very good. And this is something for me that I am speaking right now. If we don't keep our sadhana good, then Prabhupada said purity is the force. Utility is the principle. Books are the essence. Purity is the force. If our purity is not there, then we will not have a force to affect change or transformation in the lives of other people. So in terms of sadhana, we are expected to be exemplary in terms of what time we get up in the morning, how attentively we chant our round, how much we respect Nama Prabhu, the holy name, how much we are committed to studying the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. If we don't study, we cannot tell others to study. Then when it comes to whether we are hearing lectures every day, whether we are keeping ourselves in the fire of the transcendental mode of goodness all the time. Because when we take ourselves out of the fire of this, then what happens? Immediately Maya jhapati other. And yesterday I was just getting over for this class. Last 2 days I have been having extremely late nights. Day before yesterday I slept at 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. I was in calls. Okay, and then yesterday also, you know, it was almost like 12:30. You know. So right now, you know, I'm completely sleep deprived at this point. So like with a heavy head, I woke up in the morning also. Okay. So what happened was that, you know, grihastha life gives you so many responsibilities. You know. There is this property deal that is going on in my life right now. Okay, so there was one, you know, property which I bought in Mumbai. And you know how difficult it is to sell something in Bombay, right? Thinking that ISKCON temple will come, you know, near that property. And eventually the ISKCON temple didn't come and many devotees, all of us got stuck. Now those devotees who were in India, they quickly sold the property and made their money. And then I try to do, they say power of attorney has to be there. You are an NRI, you know, therefore, you know, where is your power? And then I went and did one power of attorney, spending, you know, $500-$600 with the justice of peace and going to that, what is that? Some department. We have to go to 10 different departments. Department of Foreign Affairs, it's called DFAT. So it took me a month to get the power of attorney, and then I sent it. And the fellow in India who is dealing with the property forgot to register it with the municipal office there. And therefore it expired in 1 month. And now he's getting another power of attorney. Then when I went to India last time, I made another power of attorney. And there you have to go through all this, you know, bureaucratic people. You have to pay, you know, money under the table. And a devotee doesn't want to do all these things. You don't want to do all these things. And now after doing all that, by that time what happened? In India there is the demonetization happened. Okay. And then all the real estate prices fell down. On top of the COVID is now going on. They are saying post-pandemic rates, sir. you will get post-pandemic rates for your property. Okay. And then on top of that, I heard another lecture. One lecture I was hearing, you know, 2 weeks back by, you know, Anandanda Prabhu, who was saying that in Grihastha Ashram, as you become older and older, don't hold on to this property, that property, that property, that property, because it's going to give you nothing. What will you do a property? Liquidate your property this side. And keep it, when, for people who are relatively advanced, for young people, of course, they can take risks and do all these things. But he said, convert it into liquid. Otherwise, what will you do? You can say your net worth is that much. But tomorrow, if something happens, you don't have money to eat. So first, you know, and then after that, then your anxiety is, and then you continue working because you are short of, you know, liquidity in your life. And then that will impact your chanting. Because when you're chanting, you think, okay, where will my next, you know, dollar come from? You know? Then how can you, in this position, how can you do? So therefore liquidate. So then I was thinking at that time, I said, no, I don't know. At least let me do something. Let me simplify my life. So I made an attempt. But dealing with these brokers, my goodness, terrible fellows. So till 1:30, 2:30, 2 days, you know, time, everybody is trying to cheat. The only goal is, how can I fleece this one? You know, they will try to fleece from the buyer also, they will try to fleece from the seller also. And then I had to leave this Bhagavatam class. So mind was so agitated, till 10 o'clock I had not prepared one line of this class. It was 10:01 or 10:05. Then I sat to prepare. I thought, okay, let me just focus on this particular verse. And again, Gopal came at 10:30. Finally, I gave up. And then finally at around 11:15 or something, you know, sense came and I said, okay, let me sit and see. Now already I was gone by that time. 11:15, how can you prepare? You know, that is the time, utter mode of ignorance. And we have to speak on some transcendental topic. So then I put something that, you know, came to my mind, and then I was praying that, oh Krishna, let me, you know, speak something so that devotees are not put off tomorrow. So this is material world. Yeah? This is how it comes. And then when I was speaking to that broker, I lost my head also with it. I was saying, what are you yelling at him right now? Right? Because then, and then I was thinking, what is this? This is what is mode of passion. Our material, the more and more we simplify our material life, the more and more there is a larger chance that we ourselves will be in the transcendental mode of goodness. More and more we complicate our lives, then what happens? We will see that we are losing our head in some situation or the other. Yesterday was a classic example. So Emmanuel will have to remain. What are you doing? Don't yell at him. Right now, okay, you. Let your intelligence know. Don't let your anger, you know, come. And then I was thinking, yeah, this is a good lesson she is giving me actually. And I was telling her also yesterday night, I said that please pray for me, you know, that I'm sorry. But I don't want to be, you know. I want to simplify my life. You know? So sometimes it happens. And then when we do this, then are we leading by example? All the time yelling at everyone. Whatever. Even with outsiders, we have, you know, they are also looking at us. You know that I am an ISKCON devotee. The broker also knows. Okay. So tomorrow he will say, you people are saying you are ISKCON devotees, and then, you know, you are also losing temper. He doesn't know that I am losing temper because he is trying to please me. But he will say ISKCON devotees are also losing temper. So it becomes a very fine line. How much to, you know, be assertive with that fellow, and at the time how much to also, you know, not go overboard so that you are still getting your outcomes and he still does not go and preach negatively about you. So it's a very fine balance. So every time you are under constant check as an ambassador of Prabhupada or his son, that even in material dealings, how do we conduct ourselves? Same thing in office. In office, situations will come where people get on your nerves. I remember 4 or 5 years back, I had a guy. Every time he will move up, you know, he will not turn up to office. And his projects are suffering. So because I have to pull up these project managers, it's my responsibility because they have to report to me, and I have an accountability towards the senior executive leadership for revenues, for performance, customer satisfaction, margin improvement, innovation. So many KPIs are given to us. So then I was telling him that, David, you can't, what is going on? What's going on? My dog is under depression, he's telling me. What do I tell him? My dog is under depression. Therefore, I am not able to focus on the work. I said, I am going under depression, I told him, right now. Human being going under depression. Right now. What dog is going under depression? And then all the time, bringing negative energy to office. There was another, colleague also. Very difficult time he gave. Because there are other devotees also in my team. Rasik Chandra Prabhu, Preeti Madhuri, they are all part of my team. They all know this. Some people can make your life hell in office. Absolute non-cooperation. And some people, they are very good at their jobs, but they will still spread negative energy. Karna, very good at his job, but spreading negative energy all the time, right? So we will have a lot of karnas in our office. So we have to learn how to manage karnas also by our leadership example. And these karnas, what they will do? They will say, sir, you are devotee, sir. I heard that you are ISKCON, you are devotee. What is this? They will talk to you like that also. So they will do that also, because sometimes we do book distribution also in office, and we try to give the principle of Krishna consciousness. We use sometimes our leadership position to also cultivate. Many times it is successful, many times it is not successful. But many times these people take advantage, because your leader, then they will do whatever they want, and then we are not supposed to correct them. And when we correct them, they think that you have to be you're a devotee, like that they will talk. Therefore, it's very difficult. So, even with outside materialists, they also, when they know that you are a devotee, there is a lot of pressure they will also put on you. So, as a leader, we are still expected to lead by example on these kind of people. How do we conduct ourselves in office? So, in office also, there will be circumstances where there will be two employees who will be correct, or both employees will be wrong. But they will see whether you are taking sides, how you are managing a particular situation. I am sure that you can relate to the temple management also. The principles, the conflicts are there, whether it is in the corporate world or whether it could happen in the temple also. How do you address two devotees who are warring with each other? Both are good devotees, but they cannot get along in one team, like that. So, few days back, when I was telling this in my Bhakti Vaibhav class also, Radhesham Prabhu, I was hearing one lecture by him, and he said, when you go back to the spiritual world, Jai and Vijay will be standing. I think I told it in the previous Bhagavatam class also. They will be standing at the door, okay? And when you go there, they will ask you, who are you? And he says, I'm from Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. I just come to Vaikuntham. When you open the gates for me, so they will say, okay, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, okay, we can consider opening the gates for you. Very good Sampradaya. Genuine. Prabhupada, okay, no problem. But tell me one thing, what do you want to go do inside after we open the gates? So you say that, actually, our whole life I have been serving that institution. I just thought that I put a little bit, no anxiety now, little bit of rest I want to take. So Jai and Vijay will say, sorry sir, gates are closed for you. This is not a place for rest, like that, because you have served. Then another devotee will go, they will again ask the same question, what do you want to do inside? I want to do service. I say, okay, you want to do service? Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya? Okay, enter, no problem. Just one question. Are there any conditions for your service? Yes, only thing is that Prabhuji was there in ISKCON. I could not get along with that person. So is he there also? Just ensure that in my roster you don't put me and that person together in that service. What do you think? They will say, open the doors. They'll say, hang on, I think you have to go back now. Come, we'll see you later. So this is how he was constantly explaining. And then Jai Vijay finally, when they open the door, okay, who are you? Prabhupada Bhagavan. Very good. What do you want to do here? Service. Any conditions for service? No. Just serving. Okay. Come. Any conditions of service, roster kind of constraints? No roster. Whole time is dedicated for serving Krishna. No other. Ahayukti aprasthitaka. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. Right? Then they will open the gates. So therefore, this in the simple way, he explained a very profound truth by just narrating this kind of a story. So therefore, when we become like that, only then we can really show our leadership to others and tell others that you have to become like that. And that's a big toll on the mind. When I got my second initiation. I did not know what to ask my spiritual master. Okay, so I was asking him, hey, what to talk to Maharaj? Please tell me. Okay. Because he talks very less anyway. Okay. So what to speak to him? So I asked various devotees what to do. So one devotee told me, okay, just do one thing. And go, I know you will be very nervous. Okay. And at least first initiation means at least 3 or 4 people are there. Second initiation is very personal. They have to give you guidance, mantra and all that. So it will be one-on-one, the room. So I was alone with him. And then I didn't know what to ask. But then thankfully, you know, I had asked one devotee what to ask. So he said, just ask him, how can I serve you? Okay. So then after the initiation and all happened, then I was leaving. So he gave me a gift. And my parents are also there. He gave, you know, gifts, you know, of some photographs of the local ladies there. And then some sweets he brought from inside of the day, right? And then I asked, I remembered the question, Maharaj, how can I serve you? So he said that, he thought, and he said, just be a good example to others. That's all. Okay. And initially it didn't strike me. I thought it will be like, you know, spread the glorious mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or something like that, or do your preaching program and, you know, ensure that the name of the holy name spreads far and wide, you know, do this project, that project. Just be a good example to others. Means by you, don't put other people off who are genuinely trying to come to Krishna consciousness. And by seeing you, others will be inspired that I want to be like this fellow. So then I was thinking, but trust me, it didn't sink in. Trust me, this dull head is so dull, it didn't sink. It took me years to understand that. I got second initiation, I don't know when, 2012 or something like that. But it took me years to understand that how I conduct myself is what is the inspiration that I can give it to others, right? If I am envious, if I am a rascal, if I keep blaspheming devotees, okay, if I am continuing being envious of devotees, if I don't focus on my sadhana, if I live one life outside and one life inside the devotional community and all that, then what face we can show to the Lord, right? Then outside, you know, respect will automatically come. When you take to preaching, 10 people will come and say, you know, you are Shiksha Guru because of you, you know, I am Krishna conscious or whatever. But can I show my face to the Lord like that? So being a good example to others, in fact, in one lecture I was hearing, preaching means you don't speak at all and then still people will not do this. Speak less and preach more, like that. So this is leading by example. So then it took several years, even now of course, I am not saying I have understood it fully, but at least I know that I am a rascal. Completely convinced about it, right? So therefore, it is a lifetime endeavor, not only one lifetime, it may take several lifetimes, you know, to follow this simple one-line instruction. Be a good example to others. Which means what? In your sadhana, you be a good example. Whenever someone tells, they should say, sadhana means like this person. Okay. Have I set such an example for others through my sadhana? I don't believe so. Through seva, am I setting an example for others through my services? No way. Sadhachar, behavior. But a good example, so we have to ask ourselves. When I ask myself, I find that I'm not there at all, right? So it's a continuous struggle, and therefore, you know, continuously. And then, what personal instruction do we want from spiritual master beyond this? So I don't dare to ask for any personal instruction after that. Many times after, before that, in yatra sandal, when I used to go, you know, the personal instruction would be there. Maharaj is giving personal instruction. What personal instruction we want beyond this? Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadavya Sarishuna. Amanina Manajena Kirtaniya Sadari. Be a good example to others. In such a state of mind, you can chant the holy name constantly. Beyond that, there is no instruction required in this whole lifetime. Right? There is one instruction is required. There is no question to be asked to anybody beyond this. Initial days, in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we have many questions. You know? Sometimes we ask questions for genuinely knowing something. Sometimes we ask questions to show our knowledge. Okay. Later, you are fool number one. Then our questions also reduce for the right reasons. Because we realize so much instruction is already there. What question is further to be asked? All the answers are already known. Prabhupada has told everything in his books. All the spiritual masters are telling whatever that is to be known. Now, therefore our nature of questions also become very different. Nature of questions is, for example, you know, how can I improve my chanting? This is a very good question. How can I improve my quality of chanting? How can I let go of lust, anger, envy, greed, pride? I'm struggling, but still it is not working. Please give me more guidance, you know, on how to do it. And this question, we need not ask only the sannyasis. There is so much to learn from this on our own communication. So we need not wait for Guru Maharaja's instructor. So many people are there. Why we have to wait for our initiative spiritual master or some other sannyasi to give instructions? There is so much to learn from everyone. Because when we see around devotees, we believe that the collective qualities which are there in the spiritual master is also available in different devotees in one sense. Right? For example, there are devotees who are great in, you know, book distributors here. Okay. So if I am lazy book distributor, I am not having inspiration, then I learn from such devotees, you know, who are investing so much of their energies, you know, in doing that, who are so committed to this particular service, because it's not an easy service. So we can learn that. There are excellent pujaris who are there. We can learn, you know, that from them. So a devotee who goes around, you know, learning. If we develop somehow this kind of attitude, and again I'm speaking for myself, if I develop this kind of attitude, that from every single devotee that I can learn something from them and at least take one small step in my spiritual life, then what happens? Automatically we will see with the small drops that we take, small drops, ultimately it will become an ocean in our life. And we would have learned so much, and gradually we will see that we are getting more connected to Krishna, and our lower modes of material nature are gradually going down. And then when other people see that we are a good student, then they will accept us as a leader. So Prabhupada is hammering this point. When I was studying this particular section, I was thinking that Prabhupada is trying to tell us that leadership does not mean control. In corporate life, leadership is often liked by devotees. Everyone wants to grow in the organization and become leaders because they believe, I can control, I can do performance appraisal of 150 people. You know, everyone's career is in my hand. You know, I can drive anyone. Tomorrow, if you want, I can promote you. I can throw you out of the company. That much powers you get when you are a leader. Okay. But initially, people think it's all about control. But actually, when you, over the years, leadership actually humbles us. Leadership role will humble us. Because leadership means responsibility, not control, not position. Leadership means, how can I set an example such that others who I am supposed to guide are inspired to work in the direction set by the company. Replace that with spiritual life. How can I inspire people who I am cultivating such that, you know, when they look at me, they see that I am sincerely trying to serve the higher authorities. And when they see that sincerity, it's not our lectures or shastras quoting or whatever. They will see simply how this person is in terms of his sadhana, seva and sadachar. And automatically they will accept us as leaders. Right? We don't have to try to impose our leadership on anyone. Or try to tell others, why are you leaving my control and going there to that program, this program. In the initial stages, we go through a lot of this. As initial, when I remember, even when I started, you know, preaching way back in Toronto, I was very possessive of my members. You know, if one of the members goes to some other program, I say, "Who? Why are you there? We are guiding." Because why? Because our attachment is lesser whether that person is surrendering to Krishna or not. Our attachment is more whether he will remain under my control or not. So when we put ourselves in the center, then what will happen? We can never be a good example. Because sometimes what will happen eventually, you know, we may end up blasting the devotee. Why are you going there? And he will think, what is this fellow? You know, is he teaching me humility? He himself is, you know, so attached to pride and prestige like that. Okay. Then later on, over a period of time, these instructions come and sink in our mind that we are just instruments. If someone becomes a devotee, Prabhupada has sent. Okay. And then Prabhupada has just connected us with them and Krishna has just used us as an instrument. But it is a privilege that Krishna has used us. So rather than being proud that we cultivated, we are thanking Krishna for using us as an instrument. On top of that, we are begging to Krishna all the time that please do not stop using me as an instrument because I am a rascal. Because when we become proud, then Krishna will stop using us as an instrument. And that is when we have to be very careful. So when we think like that, we will understand this leadership is a big responsibility. And it can be in corporate life or in devotional life, in spiritual life also. So even in spiritual life, ISKCON is a big organization. And when an organization gets bigger and bigger, then it requires, you know, capable management. And when capable management is required, then some people have to take positions of leaders. Okay. But whether we have taken that leadership role to increase our prestige in the congregation, or whether we are taking that role so that we can control other devotees, or whether we have taken that role as a sacrifice, that will decide how effective we are in that role. And when I say effective, it's not about which big projects we have done in that particular role. It's about how many people we have inspired in Krishna consciousness by we doing that particular role. How are people getting more connected to the principles of Krishna consciousness, and how their lives are being transformed when they see me doing that particular leadership role. So that when we see like that, then we realize that devotional leadership is a responsibility. It is nothing else but responsibility. And sometimes it is a thankless job also. Okay. But devotees don't worry about thankful job or thankless job. Even it's a thankless job, but devotees don't want a thankful. Our consciousness itself has to be built in such a way, and again this is for me I'm saying, that it's not about, you know, we don't even play the leadership role so tomorrow someone will come and give us a pat. We have no expectations of that. If we can do that role, if I can do that role, such that I can just do it as a sacrifice, you know, that will be my small contribution to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So therefore, Prabhupada, through our acharyas, so many times we have heard this instruction that the most important verse of the Shikshastaka, if you read that, every verse is very important, but for us, if we can wear this particular verse as a garment around our neck, and in every activity and endeavor, then if we can conduct ourselves in this particular mood, then automatically seeing us, others will be inspired. People don't get inspired. Definitely, people admire us based on the projects that, you know, we have created, or based on the achievements that we have done in Krishna consciousness. But people get inspired by us only by how we have conducted us through this journey, through this endeavor. So we have to really understand the fine line between both. As devotees, we don't become project oriented. In office, you are told to utilize, to motivate resources so that they can work for the organization. Whereas in ISKCON, we are creating an organization where we have a motivated people who are motivated to Krishna consciousness. So there is the both the things are same but yet opposite. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, when we are given a leadership role, then we have to ensure that we don't become too project oriented and less people oriented. We have to have a high level of people orientation. That is how we have to, that is how it is different from corporate. In corporate life also, nowadays, in corporate life also they are talking about that. Like last year, one and a half years back, I was invited into a management training program for, you know, senior leadership like that. So there, at the program, they had a quadrant, x-axis and y-axis. Okay. On one axis, it was high task orientation. On the y-axis was high people orientation. And they mapped all the leaders. So we were all mapped throughout the program. The senior leaders were observing us. You know, it's like that, what they call it, the big boss show or whatever. You are observed all the time on camera. How you conduct. I've not seen that show, but I've heard about this quite a lot. That the reality, it's also like a reality show. So they were putting us in situations and they were asking us. And they were telling us, you know what they did? They drew on the floor that x-axis and y-axis, and then based on our responses, they said, now you go and stand in that particular quadrant. You stand in this quadrant and think about it. Okay, and everyone was mapped to the quadrants, and then we were all told to come up with an action plan, how we can balance our people orientation and task orientation at office. Okay. So even corporate is realizing that you know, corporate life also, we have to have some level of people orientation. We cannot only be task oriented, otherwise people will resign, especially the top performers. If we have to retain them, then you know they are the ones who are actually, you know, giving the. There may be people who are good to you but who are not good at the job. There may be people who are very good at their job who may not be good to you. So you need both, you know. There is a book called What They Don't Teach You at Harvard Business School, which I read many years back. They said in an organization you will always have people who are excellent, you know, who are leaders, who are leaders, but they are leaders like that. And then you will have followers. So it is said that you have to have a different type of leadership style for motivating all kinds of people. So, and then, you know, for example, in corporate parlance, we have democratic leaders. Democratic leaders are people who, their style itself is that they will take a consensus from everyone. Okay. What do you think about it? Okay. So they will take consensus. Everybody's views are respected. And then, you know, finally, but of course, the leader will assess all that and take his final decision. But he will factor in everyone's inputs. And if there is an impasse or if there is a point of no return, then what happens? Then there will be a voting, something like that. So people will represent democratic leadership. Then there is autocratic leadership. Autocratic leadership means my way or the highway. This is how it has to be done. This is the project. These are the tasks. These are the deadlines. And this is the budget in which you have to do the project. This is the nightmare if you get such a project or if you get such a leader. You have no control over anything, neither over timelines, neither over costs, right? Neither over number of resources. Then that leadership does not work too much. Then we have bureaucratic leadership. Bureaucratic leadership means every time you go to the leader, sir, I want to take annual leave. My father is not well. He's had a heart attack. Yeah, actually the policies and procedures quote that you are not eligible for annual leave. If you talk like that to your subordinate, who will work for you? They will look for another job very soon. You are correct. You are very correctly quoting. Section 3.2 clause says that you cannot take this leave. So obviously, then they will also quote sections later on. When you ask them, okay, can you please, today there is an incident, can you work up to 9 o'clock today if you don't mind? They will say, as per my contract section 4.5, I am only required to serve for 8 hours in this company. To hell with you. They will also quote, right? So therefore, bureaucratic leadership will not work. Every time quoting policy, procedure, guidelines, rules, you can't run like that, right? So there has to, rules are required, there is no doubt, but there has to be exceptions based on merit. Otherwise, then no organization will flourish, right? So then there is another type of leadership called as laissez-faire leadership. Laissez-faire leadership means do whatever you want, sarva sukhina bhavantu. No policy, no procedure, no guidelines. Okay. Sometimes it works, it especially works in startup companies, it is said. Where you are giving everything, the boss is busy doing his own research. Like that when Google was formed, that fellow was doing his own research and he needed more people. So he said, I will also research, you also research. Everybody will research. But now Google has become a big company. You can't have laissez-faire kind of a leadership. Then you need to bring some structure into that. Then there is strategic leadership. Strategic leaders are ones who will focus themselves on strategy, but everyone else will be only operational, right? So there are good aspects of this, but then you are not developing other leaders. So nowadays then in corporate life also, they are talking about coaching or mentoring style leadership, coach type leadership, where you identify which is the talent of every individual who is under your leadership and you ensure that their talents are maximum. You coach them, be a mentor to them and inspire them to utilize their own talents and come up and connect them to the company's goals. So this is going on right now. So of course I am talking more about corporate, but Prabhupada has said ajagravritti. We can learn from corporate life. Utility is the principle. The principles are the same whether it is corporate life or the temple. Only the goal is different. In the temple, the goal is inspire people. In Krishna consciousness, there it is inspire people to make money, more money for the organization. So therefore, based on the platform, there are certain things which are given. Trinagapi Sunichena Karorativa Saishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Purity is the force. Prabhupada's teachings, books are the basis for all of us. On the basis of those books and based on whatever we get from the outside world, ajagaravati, learn from the corporate life, then we can evolve our style of leadership such that then by setting a good example for others, we are inspiring everyone in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and we are making this movement very effective. with we given with from our position of a leader handling a particular portfolio. That is what we can do best in our as leaders. So Rishabhadev here, his leadership qualities are being glorified in this section, and in the ensuing sections we will see more and more glories of how Bhagavan himself came and conducted himself as an exemplary leader, and not only that, how Bhagavan through his leadership inspired further generation leaders also to come. From Rishabhadev came Bharat Maharaj, from Bharat Maharaj again another set of great leaders came. So this is a very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam under the theme of leadership. I will stop here and ask any questions, corrections or comments. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki, Yantraksha Bhagavatam ki jai.